We had a got a little. We were away a little bit. Went up to rode the Harley to Rio Doce. Bless God. I just want y'all to know, my wife, man, she's tough. She crawled on the back of the Harley with me, rode all the way up there, 600 miles. We had 1,634 miles, never complained a bit. Got home, she was the first one to say, well, when are we going back? She's a biker chick. Musician and a biker chick. Anyway, so we had a great time. Thank y'all for praying for us, and it was just great to get away for a little bit. And I've just got a great message here this morning that the Lord was speaking to me this weekend. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. And I'm gonna tear into a message this morning because this is communion service this morning. We are going to observe communion here at the end of the service in just a minute. And I want y'all to know that everyone here, you know, our communion service at Living Waters Church is an open communion service. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're more than welcome to have communion because it's not about church, it's about a relationship with Jesus. Amen? 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 Y'all need to get a little more responsive this morning. Bless God. I want to talk to you this morning about having a relationship with Jesus. Sounds simple, but there's a lot of people in the world. Let me say this. There's two kinds of people in this world. The people in this world that know that God loves them, and the people in this world who don't. I'm amazed sometimes that we as Christians tend to be more closed to people that are non-Christians than non-Christians are closed to Christians. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, a lot of times as Christians, we like to just be around other Christian people. We only want to be around good people. We only want to be around people that believe like we do and read the Bible like we do and do like we want to do and just like this. Nobody wants to go sit around just a bunch of, you know, gnarly people. Look at the person beside you and say, I don't think he's talking about you. In other words, Jesus didn't put us on this planet. He didn't save you. He didn't come into your life and invade your space and touch your heart and touch your life and change you so that you could just be now in your own little space with Jesus. He changed you and came into your life and invaded your space so that you would go and everybody that you're around, every person you see, every people you talk to, the people that you're around, that you could influence them to know that God loves them. And as Christians, a lot of times, we got to watch ourselves because we get too introverted in just what's going on in church and what's going on around our lives, and we just want to stay around that, and we don't want to branch out. We don't want to, but if we don't branch out, if we don't have other outside influences or outside people we're around, then how in the world are they going to ever know about Jesus? Everything in life doesn't have to be put into a preaching format to get that person to know Jesus. They just need to know that God loves them. Y'all are looking at me funny. It's like me. I have friends. I have acquaintances. I have people that I just know. I have a variety of people that I'm around at all times. I got people that'll throw down and cuss, make your hair in your ears curl. And I'm around them all the time. Does that surprise you? I got people they drink like fish. I got people that like guns, people that don't like guns. You see, but how are you going to influence the world unless what's on the inside of you is bigger than what's on the inside of them? So many times in life I get slammed because I'm a pastor. I don't even like people to know that I'm a pastor. I don't like them to even know that I have anything association with church. Now, y'all got to understand something about your pastor. You know, I am a little different, not really that much different if you compare me just to the rest of the people in Utopia. But if you throw me out in the world with all the other preachers, yeah, I'm a little different. And I love, like, riding my Harley. And I can do Harley. I can do cowboy, and I can do biker. Most cowboys are pot-bellied and Everybody just went. You know, we got hair on our face. I can do biker. I just put my bandana on, put my dark sunglasses on, put my vest on. I'm out there with them. Nobody knows. I hate it when people know I'm a preacher. Because instantaneously, like a man told me the other day, he said, yeah, I thought this guy was a good guy. He said he had a whole bunch of Bibles in back of his back seat. Thought this guy was a good guy. I mean, he just ripped us off in business. And he's telling me because he knew I was a preacher. And I said, man, I hate it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened. But I tell you, I didn't like the guy. I saw him. I don't care how many Bibles got in the back of his truck. I didn't like him. You see, folks, when you're out there in the world, you have one mission, one job. And that one job is to influence as many people as you can to fall in love with Jesus. That's your job. There, I mean, you may be a pilot, you may be a rancher, you may be a secretary, you may be whatever that you're doing to earn your living here on this earth, a school teacher or whatever, and God bless you. There's no, God wants you to be blessed. The Bible says, Paul said, in the whatever business or craft you're in, he said, just stay in it and believe God to bless you. But the whole time you're in it, we're supposed to be influencing other people that Jesus is the answer. How in the world can the church influence this world that Jesus is the answer if the church is as corrupt as the world? Right? So I want to talk to you a simple message today about how to have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that changes your life. Listen to me. The one thing I hate is somebody would say to me, well, you're really a religious person. I am not a religious person. I hate religion. Everything that religion stands for, I am not. Because religion stands for, organized religion stands for doing things at a certain time, a certain way, a certain how. It's all in a book. It's all written. No, no, no. That's not what God called me to do. God called me to have a personal relationship with Him and who I am. So if I'm sitting on the back of a Harley praying and talking to Jesus, or sitting in my truck talking to Jesus, or out on the ranch talking to Jesus, or right here behind this pulpit, doesn't make any difference because it's not where I am. I'm talking to Jesus. It's my relationship that I'm talking to Jesus. Right? But you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. There's no excuses. Listen, it's not an excuse to go out in life and say, well, I can just go out in the trees and sit out here and I can have just as much of a relationship as I can going to church. You just may have a hang up with people and not want to go to church, and you're not really getting anywhere in your relationship. You're just looking for an excuse not to go to church. Just look at the person beside you and smile real big to smile at them. I hear that excuse all the time. Well, I don't have to go to church. Listen, we're supposed to go to church. We're supposed to have fellowship with one another. We're supposed to encourage one another. How can somebody encourage you if you never went to church and nobody knows you? So it's you and the tree ain't going to say nothing to you. Amen? You've got to have friends. You've got to have relationships. So around here, I believe that we have difficulties in having relationships because we're all from Texas and we're all the Lone Star State, and we don't need anybody and we can do it all on our own. I can't believe y'all just didn't amen me, shout me down, stand up. Yeah, come on, preach, I'm right here. We hide under our pride and whatever that we don't need anybody. And so we don't ever know how to have a relationship. So when men get around each other, we're all just like, oh, yeah, just kick at the dirt. Yeah, so one of us tell a story, and the next one's got a bigger story. The next one's got a bigger story, and the fourth one just lies. And that's all we know about relationship. We're the same way with our wives. You know, we don't know how to relate to our wives. Yeah, now I got hold of something, bless God. Getting some amens now. That's why people relate to animals, because animals don't talk back to you. You just tell them what to do. That's not a relationship. Get in a truck. I mean, you know, you don't have any relationship. That's not a relationship. Your dog comes up and he likes you to pet him. Well, he just likes to get scratched. It ain't about a relationship. You think that's not right? If you weren't there, he'd take up with somebody else in just a heartbeat. right? Cats, forget about cats. You may think that cat loves you. That cat don't love you. Oh, come on. That cat scratch your eyes out if you had a chance. Needless to say, I don't like cats, okay? But anyway, it's not a relationship, okay? And so it also is, it's not a relationship with Jesus if it's only one-sided. All you're doing is talking to him, trying to get him to do something for you. That ain't a relationship. Woo-hoo. Relationship, you got to have some dialogue. You got to have some communication back and forth. And if you don't have that, then you have no relationship. You have a genie in a bottle that you rub when things aren't going right. And you want him, come on, come on, God. And you want him to appear and he says, yes, I'm here. I'll grant you three wishes. What would you like? That's the relationship you have. You just got God in a bottle, and you just want to rub him. You just want to rub the magic lamp and make him appear when you need help. You don't want him around all the time because you kind of want to do some things that you don't want him to know about. And so you don't want him around looking over your shoulder because he makes you feel uncomfortable. Look at the person beside you and say, man, he's cutting deep now. He's cutting deep. It's like, you know, you don't want your mama to go with you on a dance on Saturday night. And so that's what happens in our relationship. Then our relationship with God becomes this relationship where we want him to appear and help us when we need help. But the rest of the time, we're doing our own thing over here because we from the Lone Star State, we don't need a relationship. We don't need that. And we have this messed up, warped sense of God, and so therefore he's not in our lives in a personal way. Now, let me show you this. The very first thing that you've got to do, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, listen, I count everything I've ever learned, I count it just as dung compared to the knowledge of knowing who Jesus Christ is. He said, everything I've ever learned. Now, Paul was one of the most studied Pharisees of his time. He studied under Gamaliel. He studied under all the great teachers. He was this highly educated, highly influential Pharisee. But he said, I take everything I've learned, everything that I know, every person I know, every relationship I know, everything, and I throw it all away if I just could know Jesus more. That's powerful. That's powerful. He said, I want to know Jesus more. And that's the way our heart has to be. Folks, listen to me. You need to know Jesus on a personal relationship like you know your best friend. And I want you to understand something. Jesus can get down and he can speak to you however. Cowboy, biker, musician, well driller, whatever you're going to be. Whatever you are, whatever level you are, pilot. You think, listen, I'm picking on Pat this morning, but Pat flies helicopters, okay? Jesus knows about flying helicopters. He's the greatest helicopter pilot there is. He's the greatest well driller there ever was. He's the greatest bulldozer operator there ever was. He's the greatest welder that there ever was. He's the greatest school teacher there ever was. He's the greatest superintendent that there ever was. He's the greatest carpenter there ever was. He is the greatest electrician that there ever was. He's the greatest doctor that there ever was. And he wants to be with you in every personal decision and every personal thing you're going in life, whether it's something that merits some valor or whether it's the worst day of your life. How many of y'all have you've got a friend you can call when things aren't going right and just complain to them? Wow, isn't that funny? You got a friend that you can complain to. Who knows your weakness? Who knows what's wrong with you? Who knows what your warped thinking is? How come we have to put our relationship with Jesus on a pedestal over here where we can only go to him and have a relationship with him when we're doing it right? Folks, I'm telling you, that's not a relationship. The first thing you've got to do in this relationship is you have to have an introduction to who Jesus is. In your life, you have to come to a place, each and every one of us have to come to a place in our lives that we know and we believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the answer for your life. Everybody does. Every person in this world has to come to a place to realize that God loves them and that love that he has for them was poured out in Jesus for us and have that introduction to Jesus and accept him that he is the Savior of this world and the Savior of our lives. No church can do that for you. Listen to me. No preacher can do that for you. I can lay hands on you till your hair falls out. It ain't going to do no good. It has to do with your heart having a relationship and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on a cross and he paid the price for your sins. And when you come to that revelation, when anybody comes to that revelation, that's their very first day of introduction to a relationship, a lifetime, an eternity lifetime with Jesus as their friend. But there has to be the introduction. Now, you've got a friend and you know, you know somebody that they don't. And you go meet them at the coffee shop. And the three of you show up. And you say, hey, listen, Fred, this is Sam. And Sam, this is Fred. You know Sam and you know Fred, but Fred doesn't know Sam. Sam doesn't know Fred. You with me? And you introduce them. Right? And in that introduction, you may say something about, yeah, well, you know, Fred, he's a carpenter, and Sam, he's an electrician, and you introduce them, and they say something about him. You're over here, and you're introducing those two people. That's the way, if you want to introduce somebody to Jesus, that has to be in your life. You know Jesus, and Jesus knows you, but the person you're going to introduce him to, they don't know Jesus, but you know them. So you're giving an introduction to Jesus, to them, and them to Jesus, and say, this is who he is. And they have to come to the understanding that when you introduce them, that who you introduce them as, that's who he is. I one time had a person, and you know, I don't by any means say I do everything right, and this may be a little harsh, but one time I was introducing a person, trying to introduce them to Jesus. And they said they wanted to meet him and whatever, and so I was trying to introduce him to Jesus. And I'm saying, yes, you know what, he's this, and Jesus will do this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And the person just finally just looked at me and said, well, I don't know if I believe that. And it just came out of my mouth. I said, well, then go to hell. And they just looked at me like, what? And I said, well, I'm sorry, that just kind of came out of me, and I probably should have rethought the way I said that, but I really believe with all of my heart that if you don't get introduced to Jesus and really know him as your personal Lord and Savior, that there's nothing that you're not going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell, and that's so, go to hell. And the person got so upset over that I said that, that they began to say, well, wait a minute, I had to rethink this. And it shocked them, and before the conversation ended, after about another hour, they said, you know, you're right. And they got introduced to Jesus. Sometimes it takes a shock like that for some people to wake up. Y'all have to understand something. I have a television. Some people, you know, I don't believe in watching television. I have a television. I watch television, you know. But I'm a flipper, so I never watch anything over about 3 minutes. Oh, I'm a surfer, a flipper. And there is this show that blows my mind. I don't even know when it comes on or whatever, but it's called Bait Car, where they actually take a car in Los Angeles. They have a Cadillac Escalade, and they take this car, and they drive this car around in areas, and they have police all set up. And there's cameras and everything in there. And they'll drive this car. And the person will jump out of the car. And they act like they got in a fight with the person behind them. And they'll get in the car and drive off and leave the car sitting there. And then somebody comes by and looks in the car. And there's the car. And it's sitting there with the keys in it. And they steal the car. And they drive off. Well, as they're driving off in the car, they let them go so far. And they let them talk and incriminate themselves. And they push a button. And it shuts the whole car down. The car is just, they're locked in it. And with the motor off. And then they go up and arrest them for stealing the car. And I cannot believe the people that get out of the car when they have stolen it. I mean, they get in the car, they talk about, oh man, this is the easiest, you know, thing we've ever got. I mean, they talk about it in the car between the two of them about stealing the car and all this kind of stuff. And then when they catch them, they say, we didn't steal that car. We didn't do nothing. What do you mean steal that car? That car, you don't understand. There was two people and they got in a fight and they left that car. And they'll say, but you got in it, you drove it, and you stole it. And they say, no, we didn't steal it. That's not stealing. And they'll argue with the police and say, no, that is not stealing. We didn't steal it. Well, what were you going to do with it? Well, we're going to drive it over there in that lot over there. And, you know, I mean, it's like it was free. We're going to sell it. But, you know, that wasn't stealing because it was just sitting there. The key's in it. And so I can't, you know, as I watch this thing, it just makes me see the mindset of people, the thinking that's within people. Well, listen to me. It's like one time I was preaching in the jails and I was talking about salvation. You need Jesus. And a person said, wait a minute, saved from what? What am I going to get saved from? And I never had thought of it that way. And I just stopped for a minute. I said, well, Lord, what do I tell this guy? And I say, I know, saved from the wrath to come when God comes back. And if your sins aren't forgiven, you're going to be saved from the wrath to come. He's like, hey, nobody told me no wrath's coming. What do you mean wrath's coming? You mean God's coming? Nobody told me God's coming back. Wait a minute. And this person's mindset changed. But up until that time, he never had it cross his mind. Salvation was to be saved from something. Just like I'm saying, they never had a thought. Well, that's not stealing. Folks, listen to me. In your mind, you've got to watch yourself, because what you're thinking within your mind about Jesus in your relationship is how you're going to have a relationship with him. If you're looking at him like a relationship that I have with Chad or Dwayne or Joseph or my wife, if you look at it, it's really real. It's a personal relationship, not a genie in a bottle that he's just up in heaven somewhere and he's going to save you. And that's impersonal. Are you following me? When I met Jesus, he came into my life and he saved me and he changed my whole life and he touched me. And I wanted to know this person that did this. Listen, it's not a miss. It's not a fluff. It's Jesus. He's real. It's a person. It's as real as the day I met Les and he came walking in and we introduced ourselves and we met each other and we learned who each other was. And I've been to his house and I learned some things about him and his wife and his family and whatever. You see what I'm saying? A relationship was started. It's personal. It's real. If the introduction that you took to Jesus in your life is only mystical, is only religious, folks, that's not the introduction you need. You need an introduction to a personal Lord and Savior, somebody that's real, somebody you can talk to, somebody that'll talk back to you, somebody that'll give you answers, somebody that you can have this one-on-one with on whatever level you're at, if it's in the middle of the worst thing of your life. But there has to be that introduction to Jesus in your life. The second thing is, you have to find common ground. Now, here in the book of Hebrews, I told you to turn to, if you'll look over here at in chapter 2, in verse 15, no, let's say 14, let's start reading 14. It says, inasmuch then, children, having partaken of the flesh and the blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in those things pertaining to God, to make a propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those also who are tempted. Now look over at chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot be sympathized with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are tempted without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and a help in time of need. Listen to me. I don't care what you feel like you're being tempted with, and you think nobody else is tempted with it, or you think Jesus could not have been tempted with it. I don't care if it's you're saying, well, I'm tempted with pornography. Listen, there was belly dancers in the day of Jesus. We may not have called them belly dancers, but there was something. Y'all with me? There's not a temptation that comes in your life that Jesus was not tempted with, but he overcame it. So when you're tempted, when you're tried, when something's going on in your life, and no matter what it is, Jesus has already been through it. In a relationship with anybody, you've got to find common ground. And the common ground you have with Jesus is he has already been through it. And if he's been through it and overcame it, then he can strengthen you to overcome whatever if you'll listen to him. He's already done it. He said, well, yeah, but you don't understand this. No, don't give me the yeah, but syndrome. There's too many yeah, buts in life. They don't want to make an excuse for whatever they're going through. But listen to me. There ain't no yeah, buts with Jesus. He did it. He overcame it. The common ground you had with him is that he can sympathize and understand exactly what you're going through. Like, you know, I sometimes take a pretty hard line case on things. And I just say, I suck it up. Come on, let's go. Jesus, he don't do that. Thank God. Thank God he is God and I'm not. You should have got more amens than that. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever situation you're going through, listen to me. If you don't come to the place, which takes me to the third point about your relationship, that you can become vulnerable to Jesus, what is it within the craziness of our minds that thinks if we act right, he won't know? What is it that we think that we can go and pray and not bring up the topic of what we just did that was wrong to him, and it's like he won't know it and everything will be okay? Hello? If he knows the very numbers of the hairs that are on your head, which of all the verses that really messed me up is that one, because he would have to be doing a continual count at all times. Right? Combed your hair, lost a few. Okay, well, now the count's different. Grew one back. It goes back the other way. Yet we would go to him and pray and ask him for something, but never want to ask him to help us through something. We would have a problem with whatever. Whatever addiction it may be, but we would never want to go to Jesus and say anything about that addiction because we don't want him to know that we have this issue. Am I preaching good? Am I preaching right on here? Do y'all do that? You try to hide things from Jesus? Every head just went frozen. Don't look at me, Pastor. What is it that we would want to try to hide something from him when he knows everything? The whole point of having a personal relationship with Jesus is that we can share everything, our dreams and our weaknesses. And say, Lord, man, this is not right in me. Like after we had the conversation, after I had that conversation with Ivan about the guard, And I said, I can get the information out of him. I had to go and have a talk with Jesus and say, Lord, there's something wrong in my heart, because that's my first thought. And that shouldn't be my first thought. I should pray and want something else to happen besides me to go tie this man up to a tree. That's wrong, Lord. I need help in this area. So I began to talk to him about it. I said, Lord, I don't know. You're going to have to work on me. I'm willing, but show me how to get out of this mindset that my first thought is violence. But that's how you have a relationship with Jesus. So what do I expect? I expect things to change. Because he's going to teach me. He's going to help me because it's a relationship. He's my Savior. He doesn't think, what do you think he thinks less of you because you revealed to him what he already knew? Did y'all get that? He thinks less of you now because you revealed to him what he already knew? Absolutely not. He's going to think more of you. Because the other way, he's just wanting to talk to you. Do you know what truly the word for a hypocrite is? If you go look it up and you study out what hypocrite means, it means an actor. I'm going to stop right here and get up on my soapbox for a second. Is there something wrong with the world today that just because somebody is in motion pictures that they think they got any sense? How come they made a movie and now all of a sudden they can speak out of whatever needs to be changed with the economy or the environment or whatever? Idiot, you don't know nothing. You are an actor. Nothing is real that you do. You are a fake. You are a professional actor. That should scare everybody. Hello. That should disqualify them for anything because that truly is, in essence, what is a hypocrite. It's somebody that's a professional actor. You don't know what they really are or who they really are, what's really within them because they are always acting. That's what Jesus despised was hypocrisy. He just wants us to be real, to be vulnerable. That's the thing that he loves about you when you come to him and say, Lord, I'm a whack job. Now you're not being a hypocrite to him. An actor. Oh, Father, you knowest howeth I loveth thou, who sitteth in the heaven, who rides upon the chariots and the angels' wings. Oh, I sing my praises to you with the cherubims. You think he cares about that? I don't care what you sound like. Is this going across your head? Actor, 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 actor. Right? He said it himself. Jesus said, listen, there was a Pharisee and there was a sinner. And they went up there and the Pharisee said, oh, Father, I think it's that I'm so righteous and do this and I'm not like this sinner. And the sinner said, he beat upon his breast and said, oh, God, I'm a sinner, help me. And he said, that man was justified, not the Pharisee. In this personal relationship you have with Jesus, it has to be, you have to be real, you have to be vulnerable, you have to have a relationship that you are not being an actor or an actress. Some of us could probably win a Grammy, an Emmy, a Tony, or whatever it is. Right? I mean, I don't want that award. I don't want that award. And the fourth thing that you have to have in this relationship with Jesus is you can have no relationship if you spend no time. If you will learn. The Apostle Paul said, as I am, be like me. And I'm telling you this, church, as I do, do like I do. I don't pray. Listen to me. This may shock you. I do not pray for longer than about 10 minutes. But I never let 10 minutes go by that I'm not praying. In other words, I learned a long time ago, I don't set time and say, okay, I got to get up at 6 o'clock because I want to pray from 6 to 7. This may work for y'all. If it does, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise to the Lamb of God. But it don't work for me. Because my phone will ring, something will come up, the dog will bark, squirrel's messing up, the trees, the deer's outside rattling his horns saying, come on, feed me, the sheep are out bellowing, whatever going on. And I can't just get out there and take one whole hour that I will not be distracted. So I learned a long time ago, just don't let 10 minutes go by that I'm praying. Just all my whole, every existence, every day, every moment of my life, I'm just talking to Jesus about everything, about what's going on in business, about what's going on with the deal, about the way I'm feeling, about what's happening here, about prayer for y'all, prayer for thoughts that somebody comes to my mind. I stop and I pray for them. Lord, I don't know what so-and-so is going through. I just thought about them. Just bless them, God. Whatever's going on, you know, help them, Jesus. I just pray. Listen, folks. I believe that's truly, when Paul says pray without ceasing, that's what he's talking about. Having a life of just continually, every day. It's not, okay, we only met with Jesus this morning from 6 to 7, and then we don't talk to him the rest of the day. And I'll see you back again tomorrow at 6 to 7. Personal relationship is time, folks, and you've got to get it in your heart that Jesus wants to have time with you. But see, if you're living a life, listen to me, this is the word for today. If you're living a life that you don't want him with you all the time because you don't want him to know what's going on, you're in the wrong place. And today you need to get it right. Today you need to live a life that whether your good points or your bad points, you are with Jesus at all times. That you would willingly admit to him your faults and your weaknesses and say, Jesus, I need help in those areas. And then you're on your road to a personal relationship. Amen? So put your Bibles up. Ladies, could y'all bring the communion down, please? And we're going to have communion this morning. This is the whole center piece of what Christianity is. It's about having communion. It's about what this bread and this juice represents this morning. That you believe, listen to me, church, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that he died on a cross for your sins. And that his blood shed on that cross was paid the price for your forgiveness. And that today, you can have a relationship with Jesus. You can have a relationship with your Heavenly Father.